Hello. We are in the spa for Sound Space. I'm Zanuck Zigian, host and producer of this podcast. It was recorded November 14th, Thursday, 2019, in the Spokane Public Radio Studios. We are going to be in a phone interview with Montreal-based drummer and composer Aaron Dolman, speaking about his new album, Nostalgia and Other Fantasies, right here. Let's see what Aaron has to say about what inspires him, how this album came about, and what to look out for in the future from him.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Welcome to The Spot. It's a podcast here for Sound Space. I'm Zanuck Zigian, host and producer for Spokane Public Radio. I have the pleasure of having on the phone Aaron Dolman. You are a drummer, composer, you're a band leader, you have many hats that you wear. Thanks so much for joining me today so that listeners can get a chance to hear your music.
Yeah, thanks so much for the invite.
Montreal is an absolutely beautiful and unique place. You refer to the city as having a very diverse music scene. Aaron, can you lay a foundation for us, and maybe we can start there? Can you describe your environment and what that diverse music scene is like in Montreal, where you're living?
Yeah, that's a really good place to start. Well, the beautiful thing about Montreal is it's not such a huge city, really, but it's got a huge variety of music. And because it's kind of small in a sense compared to some other cities, a lot of musicians are really connected in a lot of different scenes. Maybe one day I might do a gig as a side person, as a drummer, on something like some type of jazz standards gig, maybe. And then the next day it might be some traditional folk music, which is great for me because these are, you know, all these different types of music that I love. And the scene, it doesn't just contain it, but it really like nurtures and supports all these different styles and genres. And I'll play with musicians in a jazz context and a folk context, like the same musicians often, which is really beautiful to do. And my band, actually, that's where that kind of comes from. The music's kind of folk and kind of jazz and some free improv. But the musicians in the group, I've played with them in all these different contexts.
There's a versatility
exactly,
there.
Yeah.
You know what? That is absolutely what jumped out the first thing for me listening to your album, which is called Nostalgia and Other Fantasies. And it is out and it's on a variety of platforms. People can purchase it. It was released very recently before any type of holiday time hits, which is perfect timing.
Yeah, exactly. It's on all the streaming sites and my website and Bandcamp. It's like kind of nostalgic music, so it kind of works for this time of year in a way.
I love that. One of the things I really love about this album is where it's coming from and your influence and inspiration for this album. You have a wonderful video teaser on YouTube that's posted about the album and the inspiration for the album. By the way, it's a wonderful video. Really nice.
Yeah, thank you. Connor Nickerson put that together and I love it. I think he really got the vibe. The inspiration was because the album design itself, they're not stock photos, but they're actually old family photos all over the design of the album and like all the photos you might see online. So
yes, and the album is dedicated to your mom, Shirley, for her relentless kindness. And you say that it's dedicated to her memory. Aaron, is she here with us?
No, she passed away about 2 years ago, kind of as the music was coming together. And actually, those old family photos I mentioned, they're of her. The album cover, it's her as a young kid. So I found all these photos. I've always kind of been obsessed with old photos. And she passed away, and the music was kind of coming together at the same time. And I was, like, finishing school, and I found these photos, and it all kind of happened at the same time. that was kind of the biggest thing happening with me at the time.
Oh, you know what? That adds so much depth and richness to this album and reasons why I think it sounds the way it sounds, Aaron. You know, you've got your degree is in jazz, right? Jazz performance from McGill.
Yeah.
You go, as you say, in various directions and you're very versatile, you know, from bluegrass to avant-garde to contemporary chamber music. I mean, it's all there, and your band is very string-oriented as well and heavy on the strings. The pictures of your mother, those are pretty darn good photographs of a birthday party.
Yeah,
you know
really,
what I mean? Sometimes...
They're really special to me.
That it's almost like they're professionally shot, you know, by someone who really knows how to get in there and get intimate photos of an event or a happening with people. And I really appreciate those, and I can see why, not only because they're your mother, but the inspiration comes from also a little bit, it captures that nostalgic quality of black and white film, you know?
Yeah, there's something that kind of sticks in an old, I went through like hundreds of old photos with my girlfriend. We were like looking through, and then I found these and I was like, wow, this is like exactly what I'm feeling.
Oh, wow. That's really wonderful. You know, one of the things that you said in your video, which stuck with me, Aaron, was when people usually think of nostalgia, they usually think of the past. I thought that was a very interesting point, because what you springboarded from that was, well, nostalgia isn't always just the past. You know, someone can be nostalgic, which means they can have an interest in old things or antique-y things or maybe a tradition of something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To also kind of ground the album itself, track titles are really, really beautiful. And you say that they parallel to certain places and some specific maybe memories and things of those places. What is one of your greatest memories from childhood, Aaron?
I really remember going with my parents to pick my first music lesson. That was a big one. I remember that. It was both my parents. And I remember they asked me, like, what do you want to play? And the funny thing, now looking back, it's really funny that my first thing that I said was, I want to try violin, which then I didn't stick with, but now I'm writing for viola in the group and all this like kind of string thing. But for some reason I decided to do one violin lesson. But then I was like, no, it's not loud enough. I want to play drums. I tell that to people and they're like, your parents let you play drums? Like you said you wanted the loudest instrument, and they were like, sure. Which, you know, kind of set the stage for my whole life in a way that they were like, whatever you want, just pick whatever instrument speaks to you, go for it. That's cool. Even if it's the loudest one. And I've been playing, you know, I played in their basement ever since. So we have to be lucky enough to live in a situation where you can actually play the drums and have parents that are willing to let you do it. But I mean, for my whole childhood, that was what I did. And so that moment of like, pick whatever you want, we'll be cool with it. You know, and they were like forever. You know, my dad still is as much as he can be.
Wow. That's great. Did you go through a variety of drum sets?
I'm really into old drums. I'm like a big nerd with, if there's any like musicians out there, I'm like borderline, but I definitely really have an attachment with vintage gear. And I just love drum. I love taking them apart and sort of like fixing them up and developing. The way I say it is like a relationship with your instrument. Like when it lives with you, maybe it's lived long before you. Like I have drums that are a lot older than I am. You know, there's something about it that's really special.
Nice. Do you have an object from childhood or like a talisman type thing or something that you really cherish that is an object? I kind of throw that also into a memory. Your music makes me think those things.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I do have some like instruments that I've had forever, like some of my old cymbals and stuff like that. But also like I have some toys and I have some books that definitely have stuck with me, and I keep those like kind of forever. Yeah, that's really interesting. It's a good question. When I think about it, there's actually a lot of objects, but I think the ones with the strongest emotional connection are stuff that makes music, like some kind of sound making object. You know, anything that makes any kind of sound, like a bell or a trinket or whatever, like I'll bring it to a gig and I'll use it somehow.
Yeah, that's, you know, what a wonderful segue. I think we're really on the same wavelength here right now, Aaron, because I was going to ask you, you know, in your bio, it says equipped with an assortment of bells, antiques, and knickknacks to expand your sound palette. What are some of those items? Like, in other words, what are maybe a couple that you do throw in the case or you throw in your pack and when you take to a gig?
Well, there's definitely a lot of bells. Every time I travel, if I go on tour or something, I'm in like every antique shop, every thrift store, trying to find a bell or some type of something that makes some weird kind of unique sound. So there's a lot of bells from my travels. And then there's some ones that really people seem to like a lot. I have a couple of old cake mixers, like squeaky cake mixers that sound really cool. That's actually on the album. There's on one of the songs, Giving With, there's like a squeaky kind of thing. Yes. And that's an old cake mixer from an antique shop.
Oh, how cool. I love it, Aaron. That is so inventive. It's wonderful to put that in.
And they'll say like, what the hell is that? But, you know, when I play live, usually I like when I whip it out for the first time, that I notice people are trying to get a good look, like, what is that? What's going on?
You know, your music has that kind of way and out there. It's almost surrealistic, almost, some of the sounds that I hear in your music. Has it been a year already? That's the one song I'd like to turn listeners who are listening to this podcast onto first, and it's from the album. Could you maybe give a little bit about that song, and we'll go ahead and play it?
That's really one of the more like chamber-esque, chamber music kind of things, where it's really got a lot of specific written out parts, and the strings have like a whole kind of section in the middle that's almost classical in a way. When you're writing this kind of music, some of the parts are really specific, and those musicians, then it's like, well, they just sort of play what's written. Mm-hmm. But the musicians that are not in those moments, I like to balance it up by telling them like they can kind of do whatever, they're playing free. Mm-hmm. So there's parts where you'll hear maybe some of the band is playing really written out kind of specific notes, and then like one of the guitar players is just sort of improvising with some effects in the background.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a really nice way to balance out like the sort of chamber side and maybe some free improv and some jazz stuff and, you know, get all those things swirling around in the pot.
So if we play Has It Been a Year Already, what are we in store for here? What's the title come from?
That's an interesting one, because it actually had a different title when I wrote it. It was called Summer Solstice, because I wrote it on the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. And then about a year later, there was now like the album was getting ready to go. And I was thinking like, oh my God, like so many things have happened this past year. Mm-hmm. Like, has it really been a year since this song came together, since the band played for the first time, since all these different things? And I was just like, this is kind of crazy that it all happened so fast and positive. Like I was really optimistic about all these things that had happened. So that I changed the name of the song because I was like, just sort of thinking about that at that time. And it felt so right that I knew I had to change it. It was like, that was a better title for it.
Well, hey, let's hear it.
Great.
Okay, here we go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Aaron, yes, that's a beauty. What I like about it, too, is, you know, we're nearing the end of a year here, which is 2019. Yeah. It's been quite the year, obviously, worldwide, the unpredictability of it. I think it's a really great time to be releasing an album like this and putting this kind of music out. You know, the album, it combines a lot of different types of music, especially the jazz and folk. Your ensemble is viola, upright bass, and then two guitars, which are very string heavy. What I think it really does is create a very organic and a very earthy, natural feel. You almost, with that, smooth out the edges of jazz. I think that just the basis of jazz has an edge, and it's to kind of disassemble music and put it back together and do it the way a person more interprets music generally, you know?
Yeah, I think an interesting thing, sorry to interrupt, now that you're saying that, a really interesting aspect of both jazz and folk is that both of these words are like huge umbrella terms for different kinds of music, and we sort of know, like, oh, this is jazz and this is folk, but really they're vast. So like you said, like, if you can, or at least what I sort of try to do is, if I'm disassembling these things, if I'm saying, okay, I want to draw on the jazz stuff, I want to draw on some folk stuff, but that's so wide that I can sort of disassemble it and then reassemble it in as many ways as I could, you know, dream up.
Yes. Did you listen to a lot of different, or do you listen to a lot of different kinds of music? Like, what would your playlist be right now? Maybe the first three songs or so.
Wow. Right now, I'm listening to a lot of music by The Band.
Oh, yes.
A lot. So I kind of go in these heavy, when I was writing this, the album, leading up to that, I listened to a lot of Elizabeth Cotton, who's a really, like, an early 20th century folk singer-songwriter. So it sort of goes in big phases, and sometimes it's like, I'll listen to everything Paul Motion, you know, ever did, the jazz drummer. So it sort of goes in these big phases. Like, my playlists tend to be like one artist for a couple weeks, and then I'll sort of exhaust their catalog, and I'll probably go back to it because it's all great stuff. But that's what my playlists tend to look like.
Oh.
They're really focused.
You know, you get into a rhythm with that love of that. And
I always find I learn the most, like, once there's like a superficial understanding of an artist, and then you get into it more and you really start learning more stuff than you would have on the surface. And then, like, you learn the most once you're really in it, then you start learning the real juicy stuff, sort of what there is to take out of it.
Absolutely right. What you want to walk away with. You also get a historical context. You can't ignore any of that. So it's multi-leveled and multi-layered as well. I'd love to play another song here off the album. I wanted to turn listeners of the podcast onto the song Stars in a Midnight Lake.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why is because I'm just a star fanatic. It's so odd. I love stars, and anytime I just see songs, it's very interesting. There are a lot of songs that refer to stars, and that doesn't mean they're all the same, for sure, right? It's like a snowflake kind of concept here. And
love. It's like every song ever has been written about love, and yet there's all this variety.
Right. Yeah. And what can you tell us about that song, Stars in a Midnight Lake? That also has an intro to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There is an intro. That's like a kind of free improv part of the album, is the intro for that song, where when we do a live to it can be pretty open, and then it leads into that piece that's more specific. The thing with that song is that's like a really specific place for me, a really specific memory. It's one of those on the album. So when I was younger, it doesn't exist anymore, but my grandparents had a little cottage kind of in the middle of nowhere up north of Montreal, which is a pretty common thing. There's some ski hills up there and stuff. So like a Montreal thing, but they had this little cottage and it was on a lake. And I just remember as a kid, like, one of the recurring images, memories, is like when the lake is really still at night, and when the stars reflect into a lake at night, it looks like the stars are in the lake.
Yes.
So it was just that image of like stars sort of floating around in the water, but they're like under the water. They're swimming around.
Wow. What a beautiful image. You know, Aaron, a lot of people in this region, the inland Northwest, we have many lakes. Yeah. There is a culture and community of people who are lake people. And, you know, they could very well relate to that image, which is absolutely beautiful. It's like they spill into the lake, you know, and sometimes you can't tell the surface of the water from the sky as well, right?
Yeah. That's the best part. That's like the most beautiful moment, where that one moment before you figure it out, where you're like, oh, what's going on here?
Well, let's play it while we're in the mood here. We're going to play Stars in a Midnight Lake. It's from Aaron Dolman's new album, Nostalgia and Other Fantasies, out now. Here we go. Thank you. Well, Aaron, your home is Montreal. I know you play regularly and perform regularly in a lot of clubs and cafes and performance spaces throughout your area. What does 2020 hold for you, Aaron? What do you? I know you have your hands in a lot of different projects.
That's a good question. Well, this specific project, this now that I've gone through the album cycle kind of one time, I'm like more ready than ever to do it again. So I'm definitely going to be working on some new music for this particular band.
Great.
And, you know, I'll be touring as a side person, too. I don't only work for myself. I don't only do my own band leader stuff. So I'll be touring folk festivals like I've done the last few years, which to me is always like a really inspiring and healing part of the year. Just I get to go and I get to play some real either bluegrass or trad folk or something that's got its own culture that's separate from like the city urban jazz Montreal thing, which I also love just as much. But it's nice to balance them out. So I think 2020's got a bit of balancing out and rediscovering some new music, listening to more folk music and jazz, and then eventually, hopefully, turning that into some new music for this band and maybe some other ones.
Oh, well, that sounds great. And I'm excited about hearing new music from you too, Aaron. So you'll have to keep us posted. We'll definitely support your music here. Thanks so much for taking the time today to speak with us. And I hope that the album just takes off in so many different directions and that people just enjoy it as much as I have. Do you have anything you'd like to say before we part here?
Well, I just want to say it was really a pleasure talking to you. You really asked some really good questions, got me thinking too about my own stuff. So that's always really special when someone can do that. So I really, really appreciate your time. And it's been really fun to talk about the music.
Sure thing. Well, take care. And thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes our podcast, In the Spot, for Sound Space. I'm Zanuck Zigian, host and producer of this podcast. And we were speaking with Canadian, Montreal-based drummer, composer, and bandleader Aaron Dolman about his process, his life, and how it inspired his new album, Nostalgia and Other Fantasies. If you like what you hear here, please go out and find the artist's work and support them. Thanks for listening. This podcast was recorded November 14th, 2019, in the Spokane Public Radio Studios at 1229 North Monroe, Spokane, Washington.